Rachel, it is indeed great to have you home after 2.5 weeks or so. And when we planned her trip to Australia, we knew that, you know, her stepmother was ill, but we didn't really realize that she would actually die while Rachel was over there. So we're really blessed with the timing that she was able to be there for that time and then to be for her dad afterwards. So, yeah, but great to have you home. Okay, so, thank you, Tony, for leading. Just thinking about if you want to have some good listening, I recommend the Aotearoa History Podcast. If you're sick of Spotify and want to hear some other stuff, where are you, Tony? I can't even see you. Oh, there you are. Well, right there. So if you feel like something, some education, that's a good one. So Rachel read from Psalm 84. It's a wonderful psalm. So just thinking about a few of the words there, how lovely is your dwelling place. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Isn't that a neat thought that we could be in the most wonderful place in the world, the most beautiful scenery for 1,000 days? That's nothing compared to one day in the courts of the Lord. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. David has some similar thoughts in Psalm 27. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. David was a man who loved to worship God, to be in the presence of God, to experience just the wonder and the joy of simply being with the God who loved him. He loved to worship. From the time that he was a boy looking after the sheep and just praising his God in the open fields, to his years on the run as an outlaw, running away from the murderous King Saul, to his eventual becoming king of all Israel, he worshipped God and loved the Lord. Have you ever experienced worship that seemed to carry you to the very throne room of God? We can worship God anywhere, can't we? We can go to the beach or the bush and or a reserve, or be in our bedroom or whatever and worship the Lord. Or we can be with thousands of other people in a wonderful worship experience and have a real sense of the presence of God. Wouldn't it be great if when people come to ACPC, they would say along with Jacob, who said, "Surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it." Surely the Lord is in this place. There's a connection with the living God, not just going through the motions. Worship. David loved to worship. And David had a dream. He was a worshiper, but he was also a warrior. And the land of Israel experienced rest on all sides. And by that we mean no war, maybe a few skirmishes, but pretty much it was a time of rest. And he said, right, now is the time to activate the dream that I have had, because I want the Lord to have a place that really befits him as the God that I love. He said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent." Now, the Ark of the Covenant, as you probably know if you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, or more archaeologically rigorous things, is a beautiful box with a lovely carving of the cherubim on top and all that. And inside is the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses. And that box symbolized the presence of God. And there's some really interesting stories around the Ark of the Covenant during David's time and Samuel's time and David's time. But he wanted a place where the ark could sit, the God's presence, his symbol of his presence among the people could be. Not just a tent, but a temple. And Nathan thought this sounded like a pretty good idea. And then he went to bed. Or maybe he didn't go to bed, maybe he just had a daydream. But Nathan heard from God that David was not to be the one to build the temple. In fact, it was going to be his son that was going to do it. And he said to David these words, "I will set him, your son, over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever." Now, you might think that David would be disappointed that he wasn't going to build the temple, and it would be surprising if he wasn't a little bit, but there's no evidence of it in the text. In fact, opposite of that, he is overwhelmed because he's so humbled and amazed that God would choose his house, not just him, but his house, to reign forever, the throne of David. And we know, of course, the ultimate expression of that is Jesus Christ, the son of David. And so David was thrilled at this idea, even though he wasn't going to be able to build the temple himself. You see, David had a humility before God. That doesn't mean that he was kind of demure or shy, but it meant that he didn't expect stuff from God, and he was grateful to God for what God gave him. And so he was just overwhelmed by this. When he sinned, I'll just read this little bit here. "Who am I, Lord God, and what is my family, that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, my God, you have spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You, Lord God, have looked on me as though I were the most exalted of men." So David had this incredible gratitude to God. And when David, at times, he did blow it and he sinned, particularly with Uriah's wife, and arranged for Uriah to be killed when Uriah's wife Bathsheba got pregnant. Not a good day or year in David's life by any means. When Nathan the prophet confronted him on it, he confessed immediately. You see, for David, he was acutely aware of his sin. He wanted to please God, to obey God, and when he failed, he was very unhappy about it. And that reminds me of what it is to be a Christian. It's actually not to be perfect, is it? And for some reason, people out there have this idea that to be a Christian is to be, you know, no swearing, no smoking, no obvious major tattoos or whatever, a whole lot of things, good behavior, helping old ladies across the street, whatever it is. And the reality is, as we know, that to be a Christian is to be someone that is messy and sinful and often making wrong choices, but someone that has received God's free gift of love and forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ, and has received that and is aware that everything they have comes not from their own good works, but from God's grace. It's easy, isn't it, to lose sight of this at times. And this is why in church we have things like communion when we gather together around the Lord's table, things like baptism when we celebrate the dying and the rising that each person in their soul needs to have as they receive that gift and receive the forgiveness of sins. And things like Easter that will be coming up in several weeks' time as we celebrate again those incredible events around the death and resurrection of Jesus. We do lose sight of it. And we need to celebrate the gospel, celebrate the good news of Jesus again and again and again. We can lose sight of it, we can get distracted, but we want to come before him with gratitude, and just like David, you know, not saying it's about me, but it's about him, as that lovely song goes. May I have a heart of worship, a heart of God, for God and what he's done. So David realized that he wasn't going to be the one to build the temple, but that didn't stop him making a few preparations. In fact, a lot of preparations were made. Then King David said to the entire assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, with all my ability, I have provided for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze. There are a whole lot of different articles made of gold, silver, and bronze, and of course the temple itself. The iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and inlaid stones, stones of antimony and stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones and alabaster in abundance. This is huge riches that David is putting together. Moreover, in my delight in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver I give to the house of my God, over and above all that I have already provided for the holy temple, namely 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the buildings. Of gold for the things of gold, and silver for the things of silver, that is, for all the work done by the craftsmen. So how much was a talent? If you convert a talent into today's money, it's around about $2 million. One talent, $2 million. So that is, I believe, the average house price of a house in Herne Bay. So there's not quite 3,000 houses in Herne Bay, but imagine all of Herne Bay plus a little bit of Ponsonby, and you have just the gold in terms of the value of that, plus everything else. It's a huge amount of wealth. And he didn't just provide that. He also worked out blueprints, what the temple was going to look like, and he sat down with Solomon, probably quite a bit, briefing him and preparing him. He was very, very keen that after he went, that temple was going to be built, even if he would never see it. Have you ever been involved in something or prepared something for someone else to complete after you've gone? There's probably quite a lot, isn't there, as you think about big projects, big infrastructure things maybe. We've been thinking about that this last couple of weeks, haven't we? Major things that you're working on, and then you leave the company or you go overseas, and then someone else hopefully picks it up and takes that and finishes it, or just moves, moves the ball down the field a little bit further toward the goal. Think about a great cathedral. They're the classic example, aren't they? Some of those cathedrals in Europe took many, many years to build. Think of Cologne Cathedral. It was finally fully completed in 1880. Does anyone know how many years after the foundation stone was laid of Cologne Cathedral 1880 was? Any ideas? Throw out some numbers and I'll just probably raise them or lift them. What's that? 100? More. Oh. 632. 632. Very good, Ricky. So almost 650 years, 18 years less then. That's a long time. Obviously, it was probably functional a fair while before then, but that's incredible, eh? To be involved in such a long-term project. We are involved in a long-term project, aren't we? The kingdom of God. And I did a little bit of poetic license here, and to make sure I get it right, I put it on the thing. We are also in the building industry. We are building the kingdom of God with bricks of faith and steel of truth and mortar of love and roads of peace and citizens of joy. Do you like that? God's reign is being extended on earth as it is in heaven. And we are part of that. That is the vision that we have bought into as God's people. And we may not see it completed in our lifetime. We may do. But we can help advance the kingdom of God through those kind of things. Be involved in a long-term project beyond ourselves. It's the most worthwhile one there is, isn't it? The kingdom of God. Cologne Cathedral's great, and it speaks of the glory of God, but the kingdom of God is far greater. So David then invites the people to be involved. He says, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? That's a good question, isn't it? Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents. So we already know how much a talent is. How much? One house in Herne Bay. Yes. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics, which is a type of coin. of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Wow. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. I can imagine he did. What a thrill that the king, as he gave, and then the people gave, and they rejoiced at all that God had given through them, and they loved being involved in something like that. Have you ever been part of a big project, a big fundraising thing maybe, or a sort of building project or something where you all kind of contributed toward it? I have a little acronym that I used a few years ago at Eden, my previous church, which is worth using again, and that is a POPTARS. Have you ever been a POPTARS? Purposeful, organized people together achieving remarkable targets. POPTARS. I know, it was one of my favorite acronyms. Purposeful, organized people together achieving remarkable targets. To have a target that's worthwhile, it's remarkable, and it's exciting. To be involved with other people and to achieve it together, and knowing that there's ups and downs along the way, but you get there, you get to the goal. I was very blessed in my previous two churches that they had already done a whole big building kind of thing. So I just came in after that. After that, had this great experience together. Not quite the same here. We're about to embark on something pretty exciting. Our dream, our 2020 vision, is shining in the city. We have purchased, as you know, a new property, and we will be repurposing the ground floor and the first floor to host Sunday services and other programs for Cantonese ministry and English ministry and Mandarin ministry, hopefully, as well. Now, before I go any further, we need to think exegetically, biblically. We've just used a big Old Testament example about the temple. This is not the temple of God. No church is the temple. It's something we sometimes can get a little confused about. What is the temple of God in the New Testament? It's you and it's me. We are the temple of God. We are the ones who host the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And together, of course, we are being built up into an even bigger temple, a group of temples, if you like, the body of Christ. And so we're not the temple of God, but the church is a place of gathering, a place of worship, a springboard for ministry to the community. And a building can really serve that purpose. But the church is the people, and the building can be a lovely asset to that. We don't need a thing to be a church, just really us and God, but it's great to have a facility like that. So what is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church? Is it to have Sunday services? Is it to provide education, community activities? Is it to be a purveyor of religious goods and services? Well, partly, maybe. But the church is far more than that. The church is God's worshipping and witnessing people, chosen by him to live and tell the good news about Jesus. That is what the church is. We have come to the conclusion that we can best do that in a larger facility with more parking and more room for growth. Amen, Lord. Thank you for the parking. So we have looked at various things, and we're going to see some more diagrams from Jono soon. So that'll be very exciting. But this is one that struck me when we had our brainstorming evening. This is the map of the first floor of 25 Union Street. And the architects, G2 Architects, put our existing hall and our current chapel, the downstairs chapel where the CM meet, inside the first floor of 25 Union Street. And what do you notice? Any observations? It's a lot bigger, isn't it? It's a lot bigger than our current facility. We can put the hall in the first floor alone. I mean, how many times can someone calculate? 4.5 times? Probably. So that is significant and pretty exciting. So we want to grow. Now, we might think, many of us think, of course we want to grow. But some people perhaps think, well, why do we want to grow? I quite like being our size and being, you know, what, you know, the people we have and my friends and all that. That is true. Well, we don't want to grow so that we really look good on those reports we send to PCANZ. You know, that's the Presbyterian Church of Aotearoa New Zealand. I mean, it's lovely looking good on reports. We all like that. But really, you know, meh. That's not the reason. We want to grow because we long to see people of every culture in Auckland understand the gospel, understand who Jesus is, and have the opportunity to join a church. And as we do so, we're not about just growing ACPC. Remember, it's about the kingdom of God. We stand with other Bible-believing, Christ-honoring, gospel-centered churches, all with that same goal. There is around about 60,000 people living in the city, CBD. It's grown a lot. It's the fastest growing suburb in New Zealand. Because, you know, as soon as that building goes up, boom, the neighborhood increases, doesn't it, when people move in. So of those 60,000, half of those are Chinese. Half of those are Chinese. And I think we were saying yesterday that when you add the Indian, that's probably up to 80 to 90%, and the rest are other. So what an opportunity for us. The harvest is truly plentiful. And as we move later this year, God willing, it is moving, but also I have got a bit of a sense that it's also like church planting as well. That some of the initiative and enthusiasm and, let's face it, scariness of church planting will be going on as we move up the road to 25 Union Street. So we want to grow, we want to embrace that opportunity to bless the city as we move. This was another diagram. I'm not sure if we saw it at the brainstorming meeting, but we certainly did with the architects. And this was kind of the architects' plan. As we look at preparation over this year, they have several phases that they want to get through. And I think we've moved along a couple of circles. Jono will tell us about that. But basically, there's the design phase, and we need to get sign-off from the church, the parish council, and everyone happy, and then move into the actual doing stuff with the building phase when we can. So we're definitely moving with that. Preparation is, and I did have the word preparation in there, but preparation is vital. There it is. What do we need to do as we prepare? One of the key ones is heart. To prepare our hearts to be a people that want to shine in the city as brightly as possible. To connect with others, whether they be, let's see if I get everyone. Kiwi Chinese, Chinese Kiwi, Kiwi Other, and Other. How's that? I think that pretty much fits everyone in Auckland. So we want to get out of our comfort zone and have a heart that courageously steps out and welcomes people to join us on the journey of getting to know Jesus. We want to pray. Prayer is such a vital thing. Let us pray that we sell this building. I hope you're praying for that on a very regular basis. This is one of our really big prayer requests. We want to pray. There's going to be spiritual battle. There's already been challenges so far. There'll be challenges again. Micah says, we ain't seen nothing yet, Pastor Tang, in terms of challenges. I think, great. But I think that's true. And so we need to pray as we fight that spiritual battle, that God would work, God would provide, God would unite us around the shared vision and break down potential barriers when we do this, you know, instead of this. What's that word? Conflict. And opposition, but we would have unity of purpose. Teamwork, we're going to talk more about that next week, and I'm going to ask you what Pop-Tarts mean at the beginning, so just remember, Pop-Tart, what is that? So perhaps we can go through it now and just practice for next week. So P? No. That's the second P. What's the first P? Purposeful. O. Organized. People. Oh, good. I'm sensing some real stuff. Together. Achieving. Remarkable. Targets. Very good. So there'll be a pop quiz on that next week. Expertise. Oh, my goodness, there's so much expertise in this church already being contributed to this thing. And there will be more opportunities, I tell you, for expertise. And, of course, funding. It's not all about funding, of course, but funding is an important part of the process as we go through as well. So I've been reading the Book of Acts, as I mentioned last week. It's a fantastic book because I'm really challenged to be more courageous in 2020. And so in the Book of Acts, the apostles are going great guns. They're healing, they're preaching, the church is growing, and the religious leaders are panicking, aren't they? So as they tend to do. So they want to put the apostles to death, which is, what they also tend to do. A highly respected Pharisee named Gamaliel stood up and addressed them. He mentioned several failed religious movements and their dead leaders. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. That old Pharisee Gamaliel had some real wisdom, didn't he? The reality is, if this vision is of God, whoa, it's going to go eventually in the right direction. But if it's not, we can put all the houses of Herne Bay in it as much as we like, and it will ultimately fail. As the parish council and leaders of our church, we believe this plan is of God. That doesn't mean it'll be smooth sailing. It doesn't mean that, we'll just go through the process, tick, 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 done, here we are. But as we go through, we believe that God will provide for us what we need. I love what J. Hudson Taylor said, one of his most famous quotes, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's provision. May this be God's work that we do this year and beyond, and done in God's way, and see God provide in an amazing way. So as we do that, we reflect on the purpose, on why we're doing it, and that is that God would be honored, that his church would be expanded, that we would shine brightly in the city. And like David, as David responded to the generosity of the people, we look to the God that we love. And listen to how David responded when the people gave so generously and joyfully. He said these words, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel. From everlasting to everlasting, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." And so he goes on. But I love his response of worship, which, of course, it is David. That is what David does. May we at ACPC experience something of that provision of God, that God that who owns it all would provide for us, that we would depend on this God and that we would honor him this year and every year as we move forward in faith. Let's pray together. Lord, we do praise you. We do thank you that yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, that you have given us this incredible mission and have provided for us what we need. We pray, Lord, that as we go forward, we would be rejoicing in what you have done. We would say, surely God is at work. And I was perhaps not always aware, but God is at work. And may many others join us and say, wow, he has been at work. Praise his glorious name. So again, thank you, Lord, for this journey that we're on. We pray that we would be united and trusting you and seeing the incredible fruit of this journey. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.